Did you realize that we live near a fault line? That's right, a geological fault line, and a pretty significant one at that, which means that Jackson lies in an area known as a seismic zone, a geographic region where earthquakes are prone to happen, right here in the middle of North America. What a happy thought for Easter morning. And did you know that just over 200 years ago, this zone experienced some serious seismic activity? The epicenter was about 75 miles northwest of here, where the ground beneath the Mississippi River Valley began to twist and turn, and it did so violently. So much so that tremors were felt as far away as Quebec. Massive crevices in the forest floor ripped open, swallowing up trees that had stood there for centuries. A horrific stench of sulfurous gases rose from the cracks in the ground, vapors so thick they covered the sky in total darkness. The underground bedrock shook with such intensity that the mighty Mississippi itself trembled in its tracks, and the flow of the river was forced backwards. That's right, for almost 24 hours, the Mississippi River was flowing in the wrong direction, dumping more and more of its water into this massive depression where the earth had literally sunk away. What an incredible scene that must have been. Well, when the shaking finally did settle down and the river's current returned to its normal direction, a hauntingly beautiful and shallow sea remained, complete with the tops of cypress trees poking their heads up through the water's surface. What was once a sprawling hunting ground for the Chickasaw natives had become a flooded forest we now call, that's right, Real Foot Lake, created from a seismic event that forever changed the landscape of Northwest Tennessee. Do you know what Matthew, the author of our gospel reading today, do you know what he would say about all this? He would say, man, that ain't nothing. Listen to this. And then he would tell the story of Jesus, a life lived out over a fault line. I know, it sounds strange to compare the life-giving ministry of Jesus to the violent and destructive forces of an earthquake, but the comparison isn't about death and destruction. No, it's about how one event can create such a massive shift in the world that our landscape is forever changed. And when it comes to the life of Jesus, it's a seismic event that was even foretold by the prophets. That one day God would return to his people, a day when he would, listen, shake the heavens and the earth. A day when every valley will be lifted up and every mountain made low. That's right. The prophets of old had to use a seismic kind of poetry to convey to their audiences that something cosmic was rumbling their way, something that would forever change the landscape of our world. I mean, you know, they didn't have cinema back then. Big screens, special effects, and sound systems. But what they could do was beef up their language so as to shake your senses. The sun turning to darkness, the moon to blood, stars falling from the sky, the dead rising from their tombs. These were the images that the prophets played with. So that, my goodness, after hearing this stuff, it would feel like they were describing the end of the world as we know it. all because they believed that something cosmic, something groundbreaking, something earth-shaking will one day burst upon our world. And do you know what Matthew would say about all this? He would say, man, that's what I'm talking about. Listen to this. And then he would tell the story of Jesus and how his life, even if slowly and softly at first, how it would still shake the ground beneath him everywhere he went. I wonder if you have ever felt these tremors before as you've moved through Matthew's account of Jesus' life. Starting with his birth. Yes, I know, a quiet arrival in a small Judean town, but it does create quite a stir as a star in the sky appears, drawing the attention of a few foreign philosophers whose visit to the region leaves King Herod shaking in his sandals. Do you feel it? Or then, as Jesus begins his ministry, we hear of demons fleeing, the diseased find healing, and he's teaching them with such authority. And so Matthew, he uses a variety of words to describe how people react to all that's going on, to help us see that Jesus isn't just another charismatic figure. No, he is a disruptive force. And so we read things like, the crowds were astonished, filled with awe, amazed. Ah, prim and proper words for any English translation of the Bible. But dig a little deeper, my friends. Under the ground, in the Greek, it's much more jarring. We might translate these phrases like this. The crowds were shaken out of their senses, or they were knocked down to the ground, or shocked to the core of their being. Ah, can you feel it now? There's a whole lot of shaking going on in Matthew's gospel. And we've only just begun. Remember the story of Jesus calming the storm? The other gospel authors, they use the standard ho-hum word for storm. But not Matthew. No, he calls this storm a seismos, literally a shaking of the sea. Why? Because something cosmic is on the horizon, and boy, can we feel it now. It's something we especially felt last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, when Jesus' parade made its way into Jerusalem town. Matthew tells us that his arrival shakes the whole city, shaken like an earthquake. Later that week, Jesus preaches from the Mount of Olives about the end of the world as we know it, just like those poetic prophets of old used to do. And he warns his disciples that soon the sun will be darkened, soon the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will at last be shaken, he says. Oh yeah, we feel it. And then, of course, the sky does go dark on Good Friday. Maybe you were here for our service that day. It was an earthquake of sounds all around us. Matthew knows all about this. Listen to how he describes what happens right after Jesus breathes his last. At that moment, he says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs were opened as the bodies of many saints were raised. This, my friends, is some serious seismic activity. So much so, we can feel its cosmic scope. Yes, The landscape of our world is moving. It's shifting. It's building towards something. Something epic is upon us. What is going on? Do you see what Matthew is up to? Can you feel what he's trying to show us? We live near a fault line, the fault line between heaven and earth, between this present age and the age to come. We live in a world that desperately needs not just a makeover, but a seismic shift of hope. This past week, as all of us were walking with Christ through his final days, I was taken aback by how quickly the darkness can surge into our lives. I spoke with a number of you in the midst of unexpected pain and grief, uncertainty, and even some despair. There is a lot of heaviness going on right now in the lives of our people. We are bearing the burdens of a world that goes not well, and it hurts, and things don't often feel very hopeful. But this is when Matthew asks us to pay attention, to lean into this story. Matthew, with his tremors trembling their way through his account, he's leading us somewhere. He's leading us to the main event, the reason we are here today, the resurrection itself, a story exploding with energy and alarm. As these two women, both named Mary, make their way to the tomb that day, the first day of the week, mind you, a day that is dawning with possibility, when suddenly all the shakes we've been feeling of late culminate into this, the last great earthquake. And oh, we feel it now for sure. As an angel appears, filling the air with lightning and fear, so that the guards, the Roman guards, what do? They shake and they shake until they're no longer there. Don't be afraid, the angel says, for Jesus is not here. He is risen from the dead with news for you to share. Mary, Mary, quite contrary to popular opinion, they are the first preachers of the gospel, the first apostles sent out to announce this seismic shift of hope. And as Matthew puts it, they go forth with both joy and fear. Isn't that telling? On the heels of this major seismic event, joy and fear. Why is this? Well, you know why. You know the feeling well, the kind of feeling you have when you fall in love, when you witness the birth of a child, when you lean over the rim of the Grand Canyon, awestruck and awful, stupendous and scared at the same time, a moment of wonder so full that it's more than wonderful. That's what they're feeling inside. That's what they're bursting to share. Can you hear their sermon now, proclaiming aloud to those cowering disciples this seismic shift of hope? Boys, boys, wake up, take a look. Our landscape is forever changed. Death has been shaken to death, and a new world is all that's left for us to live anew. My goodness, my friends, what would we do if this morning never broke? If we were left to our own devices, our aching and despair, what would we do without this seismic shift of hope? Praise the Lord. Look around. We're not in Kansas anymore. New creation is what remains for us after his resurrection left that old world in the dust. It shook the heavens. It shook the earth. Our landscape will never be the same. So say it aloud once more, my friends. Will you say it with me now? Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Amen.